attending tonight as we read the Word of God together, okay? And I'll try to bring the message I feel like the Lord wants us to hear tonight, amen? And hope that it will be a help to you as a child of God. And I do believe this is what God wants for tonight, or I wouldn't be preaching it. And so I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalms 127, okay? Amen. It says in verse number 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the good fellowship tonight, the good song service we've enjoyed. Thank You for the songs of the saints of God that for years have been a blessing to many, and they bless my heart likewise tonight. I thank You for Your people that are here. I'd ask You to bless those, Lord, that have special needs, like Brother Jerome. I pray for him and his family, Miss Sharon, Brother Robert, and Brother Gossett and his family, Miss Donna and the children. I pray for them during this time of their life, Lord, that You'd give them the grace and help that they need, and others as well, Lord, that I may not be familiar with tonight. But I pray, Lord, for the service and pray for Your divine presence. I pray for grace and unction and power. I pray for liberty in the house of God. And then, Lord, give us a vision for tomorrow. Help us to have understanding about tomorrow, what, Lord, You'd have us to do, what You'd have us to say, and when we'd say it. And I pray You'll bless people out of the radio land, make us a blessing to them. And in like manner, Lord, may our needs be met. We look to You for it and not man. And we'll thank You for the victory before it comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. All right, I'm going to be preaching out of the first part of that verse of Scripture tonight, where the psalmist there says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now, if you remember on Wednesday night, I preached to you or spoke to you for a little while out of Sunday night on chapter number 4 of the book of Ephesians. And I spoke to you on the ministry of the church, and in particular, the ministry of Island Ford Baptist Church, what I believe the ministry to be that God has given us as a church, God's plan and God's purpose for us in this hour that we're living in. I make no apologies about it. God's given us a radio ministry that has been on the air since 1977, and I see no reason why it shouldn't remain there until Christ comes. And so I want to use this text and maybe throw in a few little dittos of my own tonight and preach to you for a little while on the house that Jesus built, and preach a little while on the church and the ministry of the church, the ministry that the Lord gave to the believers, to that little church of His. Now, two things that I want you to keep in mind as we go through this thing tonight. Number one is the verse that I read. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Now, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm being facetious or anything of that nature, but there's been a whole lot of assemblies built tonight, and a whole lot of crowds of people put together that they call a church. But a lot of them have been put together by man, and by man's means and man's ways. And they have not been put together by God. And the Bible is clear there, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So a man may work his fingers to the bones on building a house, the house of God, and still not accomplish anything for the Lord. And, you know, you can have a whole building full of people. You can have 2,000 people and have an assembly of people, but not have a church. That's exactly right. Men have charisma today, and they know how to use programs, and that charisma to put together great congregations of people, but it don't necessarily mean it's a church. And when I'm talking about the church, I'm not talking about a universal, invisible something that can't be found. I'm talking about that local, for universalists, a local New Testament church. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And then to the Lord's statement in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, where he said in the Bible there, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I know there's many today that sometimes they may feel, or we all may feel at times, that the devil and his crowd, the gates of hell, are going to prevail against the church of the living God. But don't you ever believe that. Don't you believe the devil. It's never going to happen. Jesus said, "I will." I might. He said, he didn't say, "I might." He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, that early church of our Lord's was brought together during his earthly ministry, and it was both unified and unctionized by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Remember, I said on Sunday night that we have unity because we're unified by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that unifies God's people. We used to sing that old song, the ties that bind. And certainly true that the Spirit of God is what binds us together as children of God. It's what binds the church together is the Holy Ghost. And He unifies us in the work. Now, that is the church. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. There are tares among the wheat. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a church. There's going to be tares in every household of God. And you're never going to unify a tare. It's not going to happen. But God's people are unified by the Spirit. They're not only unified by the Spirit, but they are unctionized by the Holy Ghost as well. You're looking at one preacher that believes in the power of the Holy Ghost of God to unctionize us and give us a power that will help us to overcome all things in our life and be Christians for the glory of God. And not just be Christians, but to carry out the work God has called us to do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if God has called us to this radio ministry at Island Ford Baptist Church through these radio stations, if that is our ministry, God is certainly going to give us the power, the ability, and the finances, the revenue that's needed to see this work go forward for the glory and for the honor of God, as long as we want it to. I'm afraid the problem today is that not many people want the church to go forward. We're satisfied with where we are. We've grown complacent. We're settled back. We're laid back. We've got very apathetic in our life. We feel like we just had enough. You know, we've had all that we can have. But the Christian life is always pressing on. It's always pressing toward that mark. And to do that, we need the energy and the unctionization of the Spirit of God to accomplish that. Now, on the day of His ascension, our Lord commissioned that little group of people. And here's what He said to them on the Mount of Olives, where He ascended back to the right hand of God. He said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And He closed that out by saying, "Amen." Now, if somebody said, "Brother Hall, what's the point you're trying to make?" Have you ever stopped to consider the magnitude of the command that God gave those people? If I understand anything at all about the Bible, when He met on the Mount to ascend back to the Father, there was nobody there but Him and 11 apostles. That's all that were there. And He gave that commission to 11 people. He gave the commission to 11 people to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Not only preach the gospel to them, He said, but to baptize them And not only baptize them, but he said to teach them, to educate them in the Word of God. Now, we think we've got a rough job ahead of us today trying to raise a few dollars back there on a marathon. May I say, compared to what 11 men had, what we've got today amounts to very little. It's not a great task at all. I can't comprehend God coming today and choosing 11 of us men out of this church and telling 11 of us to go into all the world and evangelize it. Don't leave one soul being untold about the gospel. Go into all the world and tell every creature that Christ came into the world and died for sinners and rose again for their justification. Tell every sinner about that. Now, I'm going to tell you, 11 men, that's quite a job for 11 men. And you know, bless our little poor pea-picking hearts, we think that 3 days a month, or 3 days every 3 months of radio marathon is just about all we can take. Well, I won't say it is tiresome to the flesh, but I won't say again that that's a very small command compared to what God gave these early believers. It really is. But here again, the very command that he gave them, he has so simplified it that he's given us the ability, or given us the ability, that we can do exactly what he's called them to do. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'll tell you, that means of doing that had never before come about until the internet got here. And I'm against that filth on the internet too. But I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the internet is a means of spreading the gospel. And you'd be amazed at the people that Brother Steve tells me have tuned into our radio broadcast and have looked on our church website. People from nations that I never dreamed would ever look on our website have not only looked on it, but they have downloaded messages, I suppose, and listened to what we had to say about Christ. That's amazing to me. Now, I know every soul is not hearing, but I want you to know that we're doing our part the best we know how with the ministry that God's given us. And the ministry is the radio ministry. And God's called us through that ministry and through missionaries and through our own personal evangelism to go into all the world and tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we dare not fail him on that either, brethren. If 11 men accomplished what he said, how much more should the church of God be able to do it today? My lands to gracious. As many people as there are in churches today, and yet doing so little, we've got more to do with, as far as money and people is concerned, than we've ever had, and it seems like we're accomplishing less. That's right. The goal of a New Testament Baptist church is to establish more New Testament Baptist churches. I'm telling you, we've got missionaries to everything. There's a guy supposed to be here. I thought they were supposed to be here. No, it's in July. I think they've been here before. But they called and wanted to know. All they want to do is hook up their motor home out here to water and electricity. And you know what they are? They're missionaries to the carnivals. I'm going to tell you something. I've never heard of such likes. Missionaries to carnivals? To county fairs? Come on now. Somebody say amen. I can't find in my Bible anywhere where God said, go out and go to the county fair and tell people there about Christ. Now, if they want to go down there and pass out tracts, I ain't got a problem with that. But I'm telling you, don't call yourself a missionary unless you are starting a New Testament Baptist church. That's what God's called us. That is the work of a missionary. Amen. That's right. And today, people want to do everything. You used to laugh at Brother, somebody help me, lives over Providence. Hold on. Brother Smith. Used to laugh at Brother Smith. He made up a flyer one time that said missionary to the restaurants of America. And he had pictures on there of Ryan's and the steakhouses and all kinds of restaurants and things that he was missionary to the restaurant, just jokingly now, doing that jokingly. But that's just about how ridiculous missionaries have gotten. I met a fellow several years ago down in Arkansas that said he was a missionary to the young people of Memphis, Tennessee.
I said, I thought that was a responsibility of the church. Was to reach the young people wherever the church might be. I'm telling you that God works through His church to reach people with the gospel, to plant other churches, and God's given us that ministry, and may we, by the grace of God, let God build this house. If He doesn't build it, we're laboring in vain to get the word done. If He doesn't build it, that's right. Absolutely. Now, notice these things. It was from Jerusalem that that little company of believers began that great responsibility of carrying the gospel around the world. And notice this, they went with His power. Amen. He said that Jesus said, came and spake and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. Don't go because you think you got power. But go because I have all power. Yeah. And today a lot of men are trying to go today because they think they've got power. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we better learn to go in fear and in trembling. The work of God is not some little trivial thing that you can take as a grain of salt. The work and the ministry of God, and we're going to find out in a minute, I mean, souls are at risk of going to hell, and God's given us the responsibility of carrying the gospel to them through the church of the living God, a house that He has built to tell them about the grace of God that they may be saved and not perish eternally in hell in a lake of fire. Amen, that's right. He said all power. He didn't say a little bit of power. Praise God, He said all power is given unto me. Where? Heaven and earth. Amen. Heaven and earth. And you got the idea that Barack Obama's running the world? Well, bless God, he couldn't run his own family. Amen. That's right. That's right. He probably can't even run, much less run a country. Amen. Hallelujah. Neither can any of them other politicians. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? His power. All power. And then the purpose that they went with. He said, teach all nations. That is, make disciples out of them. Baptize them and make disciples out of them. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The work of a church does not stop with reaching somebody with the gospel. They must be baptized. And you can, hey, I believe that you're not a member of the church until you are scripturally baptized. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. You don't get in God's church by just saying, yeah, I'm just going to join the church today. You got to be baptized. Amen. That's right. And I believe, come on now, I believe you got to be scripturally baptized before you can take communion. The disciples were all baptized before they took communion in the upper room. Amen. Now, can I show you something right here? His disciples asked him, said, where do you want us to make ready the Passover? He said, so-and-so, go to so-and-so place. And after supper being ended, that he said he took and gave them that sop. And they all passed it around, and they drank of the cup and eat of the bread. I'm going to tell you, on that one night, the Passover was done. And the communion began in the New Testament church. Don't tell me there wasn't a church before the day of Pentecost. They baptized before the day of Pentecost. They had communion before the day of Pentecost. And they evangelized before the day of Pentecost. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's our purpose today. We just can't see people saved. We got to teach them the Word of God. Yeah. Now, and then he said, and lo, I'm with thee always. Notice it didn't say always. It said always. That means all the time. Right. You say always, that means in everything that we do. And I'm telling you, God's not in everything that we do. David found that real quick when he tried to bring up the ark. Oh, he was trying to do something good, bring up the ark. But he was trying to bring it up the wrong way. Now, I'm telling you, we got a lot of people today that's trying to do something right, but they're doing it the wrong way. We've got so much screen door evangelism in the country today that they have people want you to say a little prayer. If you just repeat this prayer, you're saved. That is a bunch of junk. But I'm going to tell you what it's done for people like us that believe the truth. It's run us off from being any kind of a witness at all for God. Ought never to do that just because somebody's doing something wrong and trying to do it the right way and they're doing it wrong does not mean that we cannot do it the right way. God did not tell us, ladies and gentlemen, to drag them in. God told us to go tell them, to preach to them and tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And He said His presence would go with us. Lo, I am with thee always, even until when? The end of the world. Amen. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think Jesus would say that and then leave us? Now, I believe He's with us here tonight. He may not be manifesting Himself the way we'd like to, or we may like to see it just a little higher in the service. I would. Brother Woodard woke up a minute back there as we were leaving tonight in the prayer room. He said, "Preacher," he said, "it's been a little over 14 years since 96. I said, "That's right." He said, "Don't seem like it possibly be that long, but it has been over 14 years since 96.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. Services ain't always been as high as they was back in 94, 95, 96. But I'll tell you one thing. We're still here. And I'm going to tell you something else. Christ is still here. If Christ wasn't here, He'd have buried this place a long time ago. God is still in our midst, brethren. He said in the Word of God, "My presence shall go with thee even until the end of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you're looking at one man that believes that. Sure do. Now, stay right with me. Three things very quickly, and I'll try to be done. Now, I want to say about this house that the Lord's building, that is the church, I believe. And He said one thing that the church, early that the church had that we ought to have today, we've got an urgent message to deliver people. And it is urgent. And I'll tell you why. Just hang on just a minute. Dear Brother Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, and chapter 2 and verse 22, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Ye men of Israel, hear these words.
Amen.
And Peter began to preach to them. He told them about Jesus, and he said, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, what he's saying, Brother Hall, I'm saying this message of ours, this urgent message, is a message of life and death. It's a message of life and death. Now, hold on. I'm going to go two ways with this. Number one, it is a message of the life and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm going to tell you, you can't leave that out.
Amen.
Oh, we ought to never get tired. We ought to never get tired of hearing about it. We ought to never get tired of telling about it.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you something tonight. Have you been lifted?
Amen.
Have you been redeemed?
Amen.
Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you born again by the child of God? Then you ought to never get tired of hearing it nor telling about the life that He lived and the life that He gave. And we might be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly what Peter told him here. He said that that same Jesus, he said, you took by wicked hands and you crucified Him. You killed Him. It said, whom God raised up.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's right. He was alive and was dead. And behold, He's alive forevermore.
Yes.
Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus got up?
Yes.
Satan thought he had Him, but he got up.
Yes.
Death thought he had Him, but he got up.
Yes.
Corruption thought he had Him, but he got up. I'm going to tell you, that's right. The tomb thought he had Him, but he got up. Amen to God.
Exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And we ought to grow old telling that message. It's a message of life and death, and that is the life and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified for us.
Yes.
And He lived a perfect life.
Yes, sir.
Sinless life. One that you and I couldn't live.
Yes.
Fulfilled all the righteous demands of the law. Because by the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God.
Amen.
That's right. And we're not saved. No man is saved by the deeds of the law. And the Bible said if a law had been given whereby a man could be saved, Christ would have never died. But I'm telling you, there wasn't a law given whereby a man had to be saved. Christ had to come into the world and give His life a ransom for the souls of men. Amen. Somebody said, is the law unholy? God forbid! The law is holy! And it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I'm telling you what the problem is today. It's not preached near enough in our churches today. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. There had a law been given that could have saved. No, Christ would have never had to die, but there wasn't a law given that could save man. Nowhere. And no man could keep the law either. I'm going to tell you that right now. Christ fulfilled its most righteous demands and satisfied the holiness of God. God's holiness. See, it wasn't only the fact that we were sinners, but because of our sin, God's holiness was offended. And Christ satisfied, when He died on Calvary, the righteous demands of God. He did something you and I, neither one could do. He satisfied God. Amen, preacher. I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to have a run of fit upon this mountain myself. Amen. Now, I want to say to you that message was factual. It was not some made-up fairy tale. For it said in verse 32 of that chapter, Peter said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses.
Amen.
That's right. It wasn't a fabricated story. The Jews today say, and it even tells you in the Bible they do, that Jesus' disciples came and stole Him out of the grave by night. But you and I know better than that. Peter said, we're all witnesses. All of us are witnesses. In fact, we saw Him when He was alive, and we saw Him when He was dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. We saw Him again after He got up and was alive again. Now, that ain't the end of it. And He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And has the key to hell and death. Amen. I don't believe that's right. That is exactly right. Now, and He's given us a ministry, folks. I'm just telling you, we've got an urgent message to tell people about Christ. We dare not stray off on some tangent or some hobby horse of our own. But keep on telling the story of Christ.
Yes.
Keep on preaching the gospel. Somebody said, I get tired of hearing it. Buddy, you need to get saved.
Amen.
Oh, I was so lost and undone.
Yes.
So wicked and ungodly.
Yes.
So vile and so wretched.
Yes.
My life was miserable.
Yes.
I mean, I lived a life of misery and heartache and sorrow. But oh, there came a glorious day when the darling Son of God had God sent into the world passed by my way. Woo! And spoke sweet peace to my soul. And hey, quickened me by His power and I was born again into the family of God. Amen. That's right. Now, and when Peter told them that, he said this, we've not fabricated this story. We've seen Him. We know whereof we speak, that it is the truth.
Amen.
We've seen it. Now, amen. Now, can I show you something right here? Somebody said, well, it's saved by sight. No. See? They weren't saved by sight. Come on in the house, boys and girls. They were all saved before Pentecost.
Right.
They were all saved before Christ died. See, everybody before Christ died was saved looking to the day He would come. That's faith. You and I are saved looking back at what He's already done. That's faith. Therefore, the just shall live by faith. We're all saved by faith. Amen.
And the finished work of Christ, every one of us. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen and amen. That's right. Amen. They just happen to live in that special time. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to say not only was it a message of life and death, and that message of the resurrected Lord, but it was a matter of life and death. Brother Peter said in that same chapter in verses 37 and 38, he said, now when they heard this, that is Peter's message, they were pricked to the heart. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They asked a question. Then Peter said unto them, repent! Now, I'm going to tell you, there is the urgent matter, ladies and gentlemen. The message that we carry is one of the life and death of Christ. But the matter of it is life and death of a sinner. I'm telling you, men that die without Christ will burn in hell forever and ever. That's not pleasant for a man to tell, but it's an absolute biblical fact. You think our message is not urgent? There's people all over the country today that's going to burn in hell if they don't get saved. They're going as straight to hell as they can go.
Amen.
I'm telling you, things aren't getting any better, friend.
Amen.
People all over the world rejecting Christ.
Amen.
Our loved ones rejecting Christ. Even our loved ones that once were in church and believed in something and lived something and you thought they had something, I'm finding out they ain't got nothing.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
I may just get mad.
Come on.
God help us.
Amen.
Why people won't listen to the message of Christ? Because it's a matter of life and death for them. If they reject that message, He's coming back to take vengeance on all them, hey, that obey not the gospel of God. That's right. It's our responsibility. Look here, there's a world out there dying and going to hell. Shouldn't we get behind those microphones in there and do all that we can do to raise all those? Somebody says, all you want is money to put in your own pocket. Pig's eye. You can have my money if you want it. I want to see sinners saved.
Amen.
I want to see boys and girls come to know Christ.
Amen.
That's right. I want to keep people out of hell.
Amen.
I've got loved ones that I'm confident that are going to hell. I've got loved ones that I've baptized that I'm confident. They're going to hell.
Amen.
You don't just walk away from God. I don't care who you are.
That's right.
God will get your blessed attention if you're saved one way or another. If you're not saved, He won't bother you.
That's right.
Lord, help us. It's a matter of life and death, folks. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But I didn't write it down, but He didn't stop there. He said, and not only you, but your children also.
Woo!
Hallelujah to God. What a promise. Peter said, if you repent, you'll not only be saved, but so your youngins. Hallelujah to God. What a promise from God. What a promise. Now, these sinners, life and death, how urgent a message we have. You remember the captivity of the Jews in Esther's day. Haman had sent out that proclamation. He hated Mordecai, hated the Jews. He sent out that message to all that lived around the Shushan Palace and in the realm of King Ahasuerus, that every Jew should be put to death. And his word came to Mordecai that had happened. Mordecai got word to Esther, to make a long story short, and Esther went in before the king, and he granted her entrance into him. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you could get to the king was by the golden scepter, or unless he called for you. And if you approached him and didn't receive that golden scepter, it meant death. And when Mordecai told her that your brethren, the Jews, are all going to be killed according to Haman's letter that he's wrote, she said, I'll go in, and if I perish, I perish. I wonder if you and I have got that kind of a love in our heart today that we could actually say, Lord, I'm going to give it all that I've got. Yes. And if I perish in the work of Christ, then I perish. I give old Brother Brown an A+ with a dozen pluses behind it. He's preached till he can't preach no more. And I'll guarantee he's doing a good job testifying there in that hospital.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
They said old Harold Smallwood died over in a hospital in Jeffersonville, Indiana. He was a deacon. I was at Bible Baptist. They said he was laying there on that bed at night and said he got to singing them old hymns. I don't even believe Harold knew where he was at. He was that far out of it with the cancer that it was killing him. And they said he began to sing. Them nurses come in there and said, what are you singing about? Oh, I'm just singing about Jesus. He just got to testifying to him, and I'm telling you, some of them couldn't take it. Some of the people in the other room called nurses and said, shut my door. The people that was around him said, the more doors they shut, the louder he sang. He didn't even know that shutting the doors, but I'm going to say that something on the inside. Saying, sing, help, testify, help, testify. They folks in here that need to hear about Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, when old Haman was put to death, and the queen got the king's attention, he got him to write another letter. And they sent it out. The Bible said they sent it out on by post, on horseback, and on mules and camels and young dromedaries. I mean, that first letter that was sent out was a letter of death. Kill the Jews. May I say to you that the letter killeth. What is the letter? It's the law.
Amen.
The letter killeth. Somebody said, well, then don't preach it. Why? You're not going to heaven unless you do die.
Right. Amen.
You better get a hold of that, friend.
Amen.
He said, amen.
Amen.
I don't know how you could take up a cross every day and follow Christ and not be dead.
Amen.
That cross is a sign of crucifixion. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me the life I now live in the faith. I live with the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. That's right. And that was a letter of death. But I'm going to tell you, that second letter that went out with the king's signature on it was a letter of life. What are you talking about, Brother Hall? I'm talking about an urgent message. That is a message of life and death, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Oh, when the Jews got that second letter, they began to rejoice.
Yes.
Because they had been spared.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you, any old sinner like you and I, that's heard the message of grace. Amen. We've heard the message of death, but if we've heard the message of life.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, to shout the blessed victory, boy.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm telling you, it's an urgent message. I once was dead, but now I'm alive.
Amen.
I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was because somebody told me the message of him and me. He was a sinless one. I was a sinner. He died for me. Bless his wonderful name. Then I'm trying to hurry. And I want to say number two, they had an unconquerable love for Christ. They not only had that urgent message, but they had an unconquerable love for Christ. Somebody said, what do you mean? Well, bondage couldn't quench their love. They put old Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises unto God. I wonder how many of us ever prayed at midnight. Raise your hand in your heart, not outwardly. That's good if you have. But how many of us ever prayed at midnight in jail? I bet not very many of us. They had such a love for Christ that even their captivity could not deprive them of that great love that had been shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost and was given unto them. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. I don't care what they done to them. That love that was in them could not be conquered. You need to read Romans 8, 37, 38, 39. There's none of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. Woo! You can't conquer it. You can't quench love. You can't put it out. It can't be stopped. Somebody said, well, preacher, you say a man can't never be lost, but I'll tell you what, we can take ourselves out of Christ if we want to. Can you? The Bible said love's unconquerable. The Bible said love is strong as death. How you going to quit loving somebody that said you can't quit loving them? And how somebody going to quit loving you that said he had never quit loving you? Oh, there's a bond there. It's called love. I thank the church for that little getaway package. Me and Miss Hall went Monday and ate down there at Patty's, and then come in there and we got done eating. Had a little cherry shortcake, two candles on it. And them women all gathered around and said, ladies and gentlemen, said we'd like to welcome the Halls with us today. And said, of course they didn't know any better. They said, they're celebrating their 43rd wedding anniversary. Said, would y'all join in and sing with us? They said, let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. I said, woo! Ours ain't been conquered yet. Now I'm going to tell you, that love between a sinner and Christ is an unconquerable love. You can't even conquer it.
Amen.
Though you're in captivity, in bondage, it can't be conquered. But I say, secondly, beatings couldn't quench that love. In Acts chapter number 5, the apostles had been preaching. They called the apostles. And after they had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. They let them go, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shameful.
Amen.
To suffer shame for His name. Hey, even that beating couldn't stop them. Oh, hopeful and Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, when the shining one got them out of that net and laid them down, took a cat of nine tails and beat them half to death with it, they just got up rejoicing in God, thanking God. They counted it a bit worthy to be striped for His name. Amen. Because they got out of sorts with God, and God spanked them and got them back in the right way. They went on down the road rejoicing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Oh, what a blessing. They didn't get mad.
Amen.
They didn't get upset. They didn't turn back. They didn't cuss out the preacher. They didn't quit the church.
Amen.
They didn't get mad at everybody in the house of God. They didn't get mad at mom and daddy. Oh, no. They just got right with God.
Amen.
That's what all of us need to do.
Amen.
When we get out of sorts, we need to just get right with God. And then I won't say burdens couldn't quench that love. There's old Brother Paul in prison. And he writes to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, he said, you remember that cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus? He said, it's wintertime here where I'm at, and I'm a little cold. He said, I want you to do me a favor. He said, well, now, when you come, he said, bring it with thee. Because it's wintertime, and I'm cold, and I sure could use that right now. Here he is, wintertime, under the burden of being in prison. Paul never quit loving Jesus.
Amen.
Those burdens that he had to bear, crosses that he had to carry, all those times that he was in prison, all those times that he was shipwrecked and in the sea, among thieves and robbers, his own countrymen, all those times that he was criticized and accused of not even being an apostle, Paul never quit loving God!
Amen.
And by the way, God never quit loving Paul! Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. That's right. Thank God. I'm glad I love him. But can I say this? I'm even gladder he loves me.
Amen.
Amen. I know for all you college professors, that word gladder ain't a very good word.
Praise the Lord for it.
Hallelujah. I'm kind of like a D.L. Moody preached in England one night. Got done preaching. He was at the door greeting the people as they left. And this lady walked up to him, very distinguished looking lady. She said, Mr. Moody, sir, do you realize you made 14 grammatical errors in your discourse tonight? And he said, ma'am, I won't apologize for that. Said, I would have made more, but that's all God gave me. Amen. That's right. He said, not only bring that cloak, but he said, the books. Bring me the books, Aleph. He said, but especially the parchment. Hallelujah to God. Oh, Paul's there in prison, and he doesn't have to be set free. He doesn't get mad at God. He doesn't get mad at the church. He doesn't get mad at his brethren. All he wants is a cloak to keep him warm, some books to read, and the Bible, hallelujah, to stay in that book, ladies and gentlemen. Even those burdens could not separate him from that love of Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it.
Amen.
And it will be our way too. Now, I want to say lastly, and I'm done. They had an unlimited supply of grace.
Amen.
They had all the grace they needed. When Barnabas got to Antioch, the Bible said when he saw the grace of God, that he rejoiced and went and got old Paul and said, Paul, come on up here to Antioch.
Amen.
Said, man, said, grace. Said, it's thick up here. Thicker than pea soup. Said, you can cut it and slice it with a knife. It's so thick. Come up here and get in on this.
Amen.
For over a year and a half, they were there teaching those people at Antioch in the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen to me. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. Not because everybody loved them, but because everybody hated them. Because they lived like Jesus lived.
Amen.
You live like Jesus lived, everybody won't love you. And woe be to the man that everybody speaks well of. Nor probably has counterfeited a $3 bill with Barack Obama's picture in the middle of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. They had unlimited supply of grace. When old Paul got up there, they began to teach the people. That's right. They had all the grace that they needed.
Amen.
Don't you ever get the idea that God's going to run out of grace. Somebody said, well, I'm just about ready to run out. I've run out of oil. Maybe you're running on the wrong grade. Maybe you're not running on Holy Ghost oil. Might be running on crude. Some of that they spilled down there in the Gulf. You might be running on that. If you're running on Holy Ghost oil, you'll keep on burning. You'll keep that candle burning.
Amen.
Your light won't go out by night.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the church's light won't go out.
Amen.
As long as we're doing the will of God. And it is the will of God for that radio ministry to go forward for Christ. And it is the will of God for you to be involved in it, to help it go on.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, some of y'all thought it was cute because I said something about a $3 bill with Obama's picture in it, didn't you? But I could have used a dozen other politicians, some of them Republicans, and been just the same thing.
Amen.
They ain't a lick better.
Right.
We always just kind of poke at the president, you know. That's just the way people work. But I can name you something that ain't a lick better.
Amen.
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 I've never seen such a bunch. But can I say this to you? I'm not depending on politicians.
Amen.
For my provisions, nor for my departure.
Amen.
No. I'm dependent on Christ. He's going to take care of us. You know, it amazes me when the truth comes out. 180-some countries jumped on little old Israel the other day. You attacked the flotilla of charity-minded people that was going to the Gaza with charitable things. Oh, and everybody thought, oh, Israel's terrible. My God, they've done it again. They've killed innocent people. But they come out with a film today on Fox News today that showed that little flotilla launching grenades in the boat where the Jewish soldiers were before the Jewish soldiers ever attacked them. Now, what about that? What would you do if some egg sucker started lobbing grenades at you? And I'm going to tell you what I'd do. If I had any grenades, I'd throw them back. If I didn't have any grenades and had some rifles, bang, bang, shoot them up, Charlie. You ought to see the picture of it. They had a fire, man. They had a hose of water trying to put the stinking fire out. They was boys laying all down everywhere in that ship. Of course, the news media don't say anything about it. Somebody said, what are you getting at, Brother Hall? You're just on politics. No, I'm on the end time. Christ is coming. And brother, we better pull out the stops and do everything we can do. This thing is about over. The house that Christ has built is just about ready to leave this world.
Amen.
Amen. We better get ready. Let's stand together.